Eliza, I am tentatively calling this episode "You're Not a Good Writer, You Just Suck at Editing" with Eliza Chun. I loved what you had to say when I asked you about a commonly held belief about writing that you passionately disagree with. You said writing something lengthy is harder than writing something short. It's harder to make something brief and excellent. If you write a 700-page book, I'm not impressed. I just think you suck at editing. So my first question for you, Eliza, is where's that belief coming from? Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, I could probably go on a multi-hour rant about Stephen King as being praised as a prolific writer, but I think some of his work is totally good. I think a lot of it needs to be edited, and I think you could make a few of his books into one actually good book. So,
Wow,
but
that's a good hot take right there.
I'm not really here to hate on Stephen King. Like I said, I actually grew up loving it. I think there's some good stories in there, but ultimately he's got like a
Listeners,
thousand plus page book.
there's going to be a question if you're listening on Spotify that says, "Do you agree with Eliza?" If you disagree with her take about Stephen King, sound off on that question.
Yeah, tell me what I'm missing about him, because seriously, I think that man needs to learn how to edit. I think he's prolific because he probably passes a lot of that editing on to other people, and they say Stephen King's a genius. Why would I touch this? And it's like, because you put in so much unnecessary detail that it's crazy. But yeah, I think when it comes to writing in general, people get a lot of credit for or a lot of prestige for the very long story, for the overwritten story. And I'm all for a book series, you know, like give me 10 400 page books and I'm there for every single one. But I do think the hardest things to write are brief, are being able to succinctly communicate a point of view and just put in the details that are relevant. Otherwise, you're talking yourself in circles and you're not getting to the point until much later. So yeah, I think we give too much credit to length when length is free forming consciousness. Like that's sometimes the easiest thing to do.
What do you mean when you say overwritten? Like, what's your barometer for when something is overwritten?
I think, I mean, specifically, I mean, it depends on the platform. I'd say if you're making content for a platform like LinkedIn and you're putting way too many ideas under one topic, you need to edit down, you need to pick a point of view, you need to pick a topic, and you need to communicate just that idea. I see a lot of people trying to fit 17 ideas into one thing, and you've lost people. They've only focused on the first one or two, and you haven't communicated any of them especially well. I mean, yeah, I can definitely talk about novels and what details enhance the story or move something forward. I'm all for illustrating a very complex and beautiful setting. I love fantasy. I will read 10 pages about a stone archway, but ultimately, I think you can lose yourself in over communicating something instead of finding a briefer way to say it.
Yeah, I guess to give listeners context, I should ask you about your background. So, what exactly is it that you do professionally when it comes to writing? And what kind of written work do you read the most? Like, what do you like to read?
Yeah, so I work at a startup. We specialize in executive brand management and ghostwriting called Mac Brand. And we work with clients, we interview them on a weekly basis and create content for their social channels, trying to present their point of view in this kind of content first brand strategy. That definitely plays into my perspective a lot. I'm always taking an hour's worth of content and finding just the golden nuggets that are worth pushing out into the world. As far as what I read in my spare time, I have recently just gotten way back into reading kind of obsessively, especially in the fantasy genre right now. But I've gone through a little bit of a phase and everything. If you had asked me in high school, it would have been exclusively beatnik novels that I thought were great. I would have told you Jack Kerouac was a genius. I have also learned he's one that could probably benefit from some editing. I definitely before that would have had my whole Harry Potter phase. College was all about the existentialists and philosophy and their perspectives, and diving really deeply into that. Was obsessed with kind of trying to figure out why I was why I was living and what the purpose of all that was. So went down that
Okay.
rabbit hole, and now definitely realizing fantasy is not just for kids. There are so many good adult fantasy writers, and getting back into that, I wouldn't even call it escapism because I think a lot of it is really tied into the here and now, but the whimsy of having your main character be a fae instead of a human being gives it a little something extra, you know?
Yeah, my wife loves fantasy. It has to have elements of romance in it for her, but she'll read like 200 books a year, and so many of them are like romantic fantasy-esque like novels.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best conversations happening around books right now is we all think as we grow up, our reading taste is supposed to evolve. And they treat reading kind of like a chore or like some kind of accomplishment when the point of reading should truly be joy. And whatever gets that for you, if you want to read YA books for the rest of your life, do it, you know?
Yeah. So I want to talk about your POV as it relates to different kinds of writing. You specialize in content writing. In that world, I feel that it really makes sense to say what you're saying about shorter is better. Do you believe that shorter is better? How do you typically try to explain this to clients?
Yeah, I mean, I will caveat slightly by saying that diversity of content's always important. You do want to, if you're thinking about LinkedIn content and putting content out organically on that platform or really any social platform, you do need diversity. You don't want everything short and snippy. You don't want everything long and complicated. You have to have both. Where my POV comes in is, I can write one of those lengthy posts much faster and much easier than the short magic
Yeah, so
little
many people
five-line
don't
post.
understand that. I get
Yeah,
customers,
it's yeah.
yeah, when people want to work with Dinosaur House, they're surprised that we charge as much as you would charge for ghostwriting a full-length book. And then I get to hit them with an Alex Hormozyism. I'm like, it takes twice as much time to write half as many words. And that usually gets like an aha out of them.
Yeah, I definitely will say you can be insecure when you're first working with clients of oh, are they going to think this isn't enough, effort for the time spent if it's a really short post? So there's definitely some translating that has to go into the importance of short posts. I think they start to become a believer when they see the reach a short post can get. And when we think about LinkedIn specifically, we think about audience widening posts, what's going to bring people in and invite people in. There has to be a low barrier of entry and a high value output. So that's where those short posts are really magical. And then you have your long posts are usually more of your conversion posts. So this is what's going to get your main ICP to become a lead. This is what's going to turn a lead into somebody that's shortening the sales cycle and they're ready to sign because they understand your perspective and they get you so much more. So there is definitely room to have those longer posts. But if you don't have the short, exciting kind of snippy posts to widen that audience and bring more people in, then your longer posts aren't going to be seen by anybody.
Do you ever get pushback from clients when that you'll have like a like do you have long interview sessions with them that turn into an amount of words that they're like, wait, we're just doing that many words?
I all the time will have people say, but what if we just added in this detail? Or like, this is another example you could give, or what if we added this in? And so it's always a back and forth. I mean, I'm definitely respectful and want to make sure that my clients always feel like their voice is being amplified correctly and in their tone of voice and all of that. But I will definitely give them some feedback about the fact that yes, like that's great that you have that perspective that you want to add in those nuances. Sometimes it's appropriate, and sometimes you're just distracting from your point. If you believe that strongly about that, I'll write a post about that for you, and we'll talk about it. And people get really caught up sometimes on people should know everything about me from this one post. And I say, no, you have to think in of your LinkedIn page as each post is like an episode of a TV show. If someone were to drop in, they wouldn't know everything about these characters. They wouldn't know every little piece. You want them to want to learn more. And so not every post is going to be able to encapsulate every perspective, every nuance, every caveat you have about a point. The next post can do that. This post needs to articulate one specific thing, and that's what we're going to accomplish here. So save it, love it, great thought. Let's put it in the next one and write out a whole comprehensive idea around that.
What's your journey been like when it comes to content writing for social? Like, where did you learn this stuff? And like, yeah, what was your development?
Yeah, well, I actually started in the nonprofit field. So I was doing program creation, curriculum creation for youth development. And a lot of where my kind of through line comes from is communicating ideas in a way that even just kids are going to respond to them. How do you make things interesting? How do you make
Yep.
science and learning about polymers interesting? So I had a
Yep.
youth development background. I was always a writer, though. I was always writing poems and short stories and jotting down things in my notes. So from a very young age, like, writing was always a part of my through line. But I initially started in youth development and then ended up finding out about Mac Brand, and it was just a one person operation at the time, and she was looking to bring somebody else on and have a partner to run this business with and scale this with. So I really learned under the CEO Mackenzie's tutelage and kind of learned the ins and outs of LinkedIn. I hadn't spent a lot of time at the platform when I first started, and quickly, picked up on some of the forms, picked up on some of the ways in which people communicate on the platform. But ultimately, I think a lot of what makes me a strong writer is you can never have too like processed of an approach to these things. You have to be a storyteller. You have to approach everything as a storyteller. And that I had coming in. So
You say
yeah, I learned.
you can have too much process, or you cannot have too much process.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be too, like, yeah, you don't want to be too processed about these things. You
Oh, I
don't want to follow
disagree.
very
Oh, I
well,
disagree.
I think you just don't want to be too formulaic, is maybe what I mean to say. Like,
Oh,
you
I
don't want to
disagree.
follow too many formulas. That's fine. You can disagree, but you start to see people look too much alike on LinkedIn when you don't come from it from like an authentic storytelling perspective.
Okay, I see your point there. When I was thinking about process and formula, I was thinking for like the more I've built processes, procedures, and ways of extracting content out of somebody, the better returns I've gotten from that. So like when I
Yeah.
first started Dinosaur House, our we would have one story call where I really didn't even know what to ask the customer. And the more work I've put into building out a process and a formula for extracting content out of someone, now it's like theme discovery, plot selection. I ask certain questions that are designed to get good content out of somebody. And just like I find that anytime I put more work into building more to the adding more into the process or making the process better, I end up with better written work.
No, yeah, I agree with that. I think from the client perspective, it should feel like a seamless machine, like every there's a set process for everything. I mean more on the creative ends of like, people use very strict kind of content formulas. So I'm going to take this
Yes.
idea, I'm going to do it in this form, it's going to give me this result. So I agree with you. The process of how we gather and start to create content should be very standardized for the client's experience. But yeah, if I were going to hire somebody on tomorrow to write for LinkedIn, I would want them to have a fresh storytelling perspective and also be able to emulate client voice, because that's also important. You don't want to sound like any standard person on LinkedIn. You want to sound like your client and you want to sound like a fresh voice on the page. So I guess that's what I mean. Yes, a process to get to that step, but don't let your content sound like it's gone through a insert this template here formula,
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to do another episode with you sometime on how do you make writing sound like the voice of your client while maintaining the writing still being good. So anyone who's listening to this, if that's an episode that you'd like to hear, also please sound off in the honestly, anyway, you could send me an email, but sound off in the question.
Yeah,
Getting
I'd love to
back
come
to
back and talk about that.
yeah. So, back to the main idea of this episode about writing short. Like, if you write long, it probably just means that you suck at editing. How do you recommend that somebody make like practically speaking, how do they make sure that they are good at editing and that they're chopping things down the right amount to make sure that it's the right amount of shortness?
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things always is you can have written something beautifully. The hardest things for me to edit out are when I feel so strongly about how well a certain thought or sentence was written, but it doesn't fit with the rest of the piece. It just is a tangent from what you're talking about, or you realize you've deviated once you fully thought out the thought and thought out the thought, but once you fully thought through it and gotten it on the page.
Yeah,
And
you got to
those are
kill
the
your
nuggets.
babies.
Yeah, you do have to kill your babies, and you have to save those things away, and either bring up the topic to a client in a different way, and find another way to flesh out that whole idea. And sometimes you just have to sacrifice them and say, "Yeah, I really like the phrasing of this," or "This was such a good anecdote," or "I love this metaphor idea," or whatever it is, and push it aside and ditch it. So that's definitely the hardest part of editing, but the most important part of editing. I also think the other thing I'll say is, yeah, you're not telling a complete story every time you do social content. You are telling a piece of a story. So that's the other thing, is people worry about how intelligent they're coming across, and so they just want to fit in everything that they possibly can. And I would say that usually just makes you look desperate. Trust in your own intelligence, trust in the value that this shorter piece of content has to offer, and then follow up. You can do, like I said, I love book series. Do a series on this topic. Do iterations, or tell that different piece of it a different way. Wait till you get comments in that are asking about that, and then respond directly to them and tell that part of the story. Like, keep it a dialogue, but you don't sound smarter just because you put a thousand things in one piece of content. You sound like you're overthinking more of the time.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, if you want to write a short, punchy piece of content, you have to not be worried about coming off smart, tell a piece of the story, and be not don't be afraid to sacrifice your babies. Is there anything else that you would say practically, like this is what I do to make sure that my content is short and punchy? And if you can't think
I
of an
mean,
answer to that
really,
question, there's something that you said earlier that I want to ask you about.
yeah, well, I was gonna say the main thing is just go by it and read it out loud, line by line, and see where you're distracted away from your own piece, where something feels irrelevant to the larger story. Pull every single line back to the thesis, and if you can't make a direct A to B line between those two things, ditch it. That's the last thing I'll say.
Yeah. And you don't at all, like, you don't have formulas or formulations of how you do it. So, like, specifically, are you mostly writing for LinkedIn? What are the platforms that you mostly write
Yeah,
for?
primarily LinkedIn. Yeah.
Okay. And you don't have frameworks or formulas for kinds of posts and like what they look like?
I mean, I know about, like, there's pretty standard content matrices. Like, I'm aware of those different posts. Definitely a lot of the content I do will fall under a level of a content mat or one of the sections of a content matrix. So yes, there are typical forms. I will write in a, like, three things you need to know every once in a while if it makes sense for a client. I think the point is you have to let the content tell you the way it needs to be delivered, and you have to think through creatively, how is this best delivered? Because, like I said, I may have a client give me three things, but if it's not going to be impactful as a list, I'll
Yeah.
focus on one of them and say, this is your strong point. These other two, like, they're not standing out in the crowd of what's on LinkedIn right now. So instead, I'm going to do a shorter storytelling post about this, or I'll especially inquire and say, okay, for this thought to be impactful, you need to tell me a story about a time this impacted you personally, or you learned this lesson. You need to give a personal touch to this. That's the only way this content's going to resonate. So yes, I think all content, you could build a master matrix and it falls under something, but you have to let the content tell you what form it takes. You can't decide on a form ahead of time and just arbitrarily, punch things in.
I agree. And I feel like that would be a whole nother great episode that we could do, or maybe just part of this other episode that we're referencing, because the craft of figuring out how to make the content that is the reason that it's, good and not relying, you get into a little bit of like a magic pencil fallacy. So in the world of art, there's a thing called the magic pencil fallacy, which is basically like artists are always asking other artists what pencil they use. as if the pencil is what makes the art good. And so I think you can have the same problem when it comes to formulas or formulations of, and frameworks and matrices of how content looks. It's like, it's not the way the content looks. That's the magic pencil fallacy for the writer.
Absolutely. And what content matrices are the best for is getting started. I mean, I would definitely recommend if you have no idea what to talk about on LinkedIn and you're doing it yourself and you're not hiring a ghostwriter, just having ideas of ways to do things is super, super helpful. So I'm not discrediting it from that regard. But yeah, I just think if you follow too closely and try to get it to align to a specific template every time you write when you're experienced at this, then your stuff is going to seem very repetitive to what else is on LinkedIn.
Yeah. You said something earlier that I thought was interesting. You were like trying to get everybody always wants to add, add, add. And this is a problem whenever you do any sort of client work, like working for a client. It is in the editing phase, usually, that they start coming up with all the things that they want to add. And there's another name for this. It's called scope creep. At least that's what they call it in like the agency world. But it's like the more you work on a project, the more and more the client wants you to do on that project. And similarly, when you're ghostwriting, when it's time to edit and tighten is usually when they start wanting to add all kinds of things. And so it's very hard to do. The way that I handle this is I make sure to tell customers like during theme discovery and outlining, that is when we want to be additive. We want to be coming up with all kinds of things to go into the book. After that, your advice to us, like your feedback to us, needs to be subtractive. So the content is going to get better the more you subtract from it. And so, you know, focus on adding at the beginning, focus on subtracting at the end. And that helps. But is there anything that you do as somebody that does work for clients to help get clients thinking that way?
Yeah, well, I'm sure in some ways it is harder when you're doing a set book because there's a finished project and you're not continuing to work on it. So the easiest thing for me to say to a client is we'll get to it, you know, we'll talk about it, or that's like first on my list for our next call. Like these are very ongoing relationships.
Because it's social content. It's like you bang out another one.
Yeah, we'll keep talking about it. Just continuing to reiterate, you know, you're putting too many, we're putting too many thoughts in this one post. We've got a narrow, like, this is what we want to talk about for this one. This topic belongs in the next one. And, you know, it's first on my list for us to talk about at our next content interview. And we'll dive in and make sure we have a really comprehensive understanding of your viewpoint on that thing. So yeah, if I ever had to have a finished project or write like, you know, a month's worth of content at once and say, this is all you get, I think it would be a lot harder to justify. And then a lot of it's just like go ahead.
Clients have so much anxiety when you get towards the end around like finishing it and making it shorter, and it's time to cut. It's not time to add.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll say the other thing is the proof is always in the pudding. So my best client really client relationships don't work between a client and a ghostwriter if there isn't some level of trust. I've already shown them, you know, what I'm capable of doing. And I have to say, all right, you trust me on this. We'll look at the engagement. I'll even let you do it your way once. And we'll compare and I'll show you with real time data why what I'm talking about works and my understanding of the algorithm and my understanding of your audience and everything. So yeah, the ghostwriting relationships don't work if there isn't a fundamental level of trust that I am an expert in what I do and I know what I'm doing. And sometimes you got to trust me, you know? But I will give clients, especially as we're figuring out our working relationship when we're early in the process, to say, do you feel really strongly about this? Let's put it out and let's see. Let's see how your audience responds, because I'm learning about your audience every time we post the same way you are. So a lot of that is, you know, kind of assessing and adjusting the process as we go. And there are different audiences. There are definitely people that, you know, have more credibility with their audience to post a little bit longer and still get viewership. There are some where I'm like, that you need to cut that in half in our first 3 months of posting because no one's reading it at this stage of how you've built your audience. It's you haven't built that trust with people to sit around, read something that long and think they're going to get value of it. You have to earn that first. So it's definitely a learning process with every client. We definitely say the first 3 months are a lot of analyzing what's specifically going to work for you, because not every audience is built the same.
Awesome. Speaking of learning and trusting, you can trust Eliza as you watch her content to get better at writing. I would suggest checking you out on LinkedIn. Is there anywhere else that you want to send listeners to check you out?
No, LinkedIn's great. That's perfect. Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. That's Eliza, ELIZACHUN on LinkedIn. Eliza, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.